Netcasts you love.
From people you trust.
This is Twit.
Bandwidth for Ham Nation is provided by CashFly at CacheFly.com.
This episode of Ham Nation is brought to you by DX Engineering. DX Engineering offers practically everything you need to outfit your shack, plus the fastest shipping in the industry. In-stock items ship the same day, Monday through Friday until 10 p.m. Eastern. For more information, visit DXEngineering.com/HamNation. By PillPack, a full-service online pharmacy that combines modern technology, convenient packaging, and personalized service to make your life easier. Visit PillPack.com/twit to save $20 on vitamins and OTCs when you transfer your prescriptions. And by ICOM. For more information, visit ICOMAmerica.com/HamNation.
This is Ham Nation, episode number 241 for March 30th, 2016. Monodirectional coax. Good evening. Welcome to another episode of Ham Nation. Bob Hall is not with us this week. He's out on the road. He's been out with the Who and just all kinds of people. I think he even went by the Rock and Roll Hall of Fame. So Bob has been all over the place for the last couple of weeks. I do believe he'll be back with us next week, though, and give us a report on what all's been going on. We've got a fun show lined up for you tonight. We've got Gordo with a visitor in the shack. We've got Don Wilbanks with us. Say hi, Don.
Hi, Don. Hey. What's happening,
good to
George?
See you.
Good to be here. Yeah, well, we're waiting on the thunderstorms to get here. It's supposed to have a rainy couple of days, so probably the same for you up there a couple of hours to my north.
Yeah, we're expecting the same thing. We thought we were having it today, but somehow we skipped out of it. So maybe it won't be too bad here. We've also got John Portune with us, W6NBC. Hi, John. Glad to have you back.
Well, it's glad to be back and glad to be joining you a little more regularly.
Okay, and we're looking forward to hearing what you've got to talk about a little bit later in the show. We've also got Val will be with us and some DX action, and we'll have Amanda in the chat room. But right now, live from Costa Mesa, California, it's Gordo.
Well, thanks, George. Live from Costa Mesa, it is Gordo, WB6NOA. And may I introduce my friend, Kevin, KI6DHQ with BioNO. Hi, Kevin.
Hi, Gordon. Appreciate the time to come out here tonight. We're really excited to share a bit about the batteries that we're offering our company's BioNO Power. And we've been offering lithium iron phosphate batteries for the ham radio community and excited tonight.
Oh, that's great. Well, we've got a lot of questions, Kevin, that our readers and viewers and listeners have sent in to me, and we're going to grill you with questions. So are you ready to be grilled?
Sure, go ahead.
All right. Well, Brian, if you'll go ahead and roll the short shots. All right. Our questions come from members that have this type of technology, and that is portable power packs behind all of these portable radio sets. And their first big question is this stuff dangerous? Does it blow up like the hoverboards, or is lithium iron phosphate safe?
Lithium iron phosphate batteries are inherently safer compared to those that are out there, the lithium ion batteries, because of the tightly bonded phosphate bond. So you have a battery that's ultra safe compared to what's out there.
Oh, that's great. I hate to have these go up in smokes inside the battery pack. Now, I've got, in the past, we've been doing the Shorey battery, and we're soon to switch, but tell us about ampere hours. I understand there's a difference between rating ampere hours on lead acid batteries versus the lithium iron phosphate, huh?
That's correct. Our batteries, BioNO Power batteries, offer they're deep cycle lithium iron phosphate batteries that have the true capacity rating for ham radio and electronics applications. So whereas other manufacturers may mention a lead acid equivalent rating, what we're offering is a true rating that is used and important for deep cycle applications. So that's where These particular lithium iron phosphate batteries are great for ham radio, among other applications out there.
Well, that's good to hear, because when we take these kind of batteries and take them abroad, we want to make sure they're going to be rated for the job. Now, what about TSA and the DXers that may be flying abroad with this type of lithium iron phosphate technology? TSA approved?
Yes. So the TSA and also the FAA have particular rules and regulations that allow for lithium iron phosphate batteries up to 160 watt hours. So as long as you take your ham radio license with you, and you just mentioned that you're using batteries for the ham radio application, it's been fine. Our customer base has had no issues with that.
Oh, well, that's good news. So when we go ahead and drop that lithium iron phosphate battery in our radio setup like I have here, we're ready to roll. Now, this is a 100-watt output transceiver, draws maybe 15 amps. What kind of battery amperes am I looking for?
Okay, so this is going to be a larger application. So I would suggest a 12-volt, 20-amp-hour lithium iron phosphate battery for HF applications. So the larger one does the job and provides that kind of power output that you would need.
Okay, and again, how many amperes?
That would be a 20-amp-hour.
Okay, 20 amp hours. And now let's take a look at our tour. Now, your place is located in Santa Ana, California. And are the batteries made right there, or do they come into your shop and that's where you do the final put them together?
We have assembly and local production that's done here within Santa Ana, California. That is correct. And also, we have a lot of extensive facilities here and production that's also done through our facilities.
Wow. Well, that's great. And look at your facility. When I came in there, you were there to greet me in grand style. And look at all the different battery types that you have. When I look at these batteries, what's the resting voltage? Is it like 12.2, not quite enough to run a ham set, or about 13?
Okay, so the resting voltage is going to be about 13.3
Good.
Volts, and so it's going to be resting at that voltage, and then it's pretty constant as you load the battery, and which is really great for ham radio applications. It's a pretty flat curve.
Oh, that's great to hear. And our next shot shows Bo and you. Bo is your...
One of my colleagues. Yep.
Ah, well... Bo was there to give us some great demos. And what's that big, huge guy in the back on Bo's left hand?
Okay, that's one of our power pack units. That's our 1200 power pack that has various power pull outputs. It has a 12-volt, 100-amp-hour lithium iron phosphate battery in there. And it also includes all the various outputs, USB power pulls, along with a 12-volt and an built-in inverter as well.
All right. Well, that's going to be quite a piece of mechanics there. Now, what about a short circuit? What protects your batteries from a ham that accidentally shorts them out, as I would probably do?
That's correct. Well, actually, you don't want to short it out, but what you want to use is we have our built-in protection circuit module within the battery itself. So all of the batteries have that built-in that protects that.
Oh, okay. So as we see here, and what does that little circuit board look? Oh, we've got one right here. We'll show you right after our view. And these questions, Kevin, are those that have come in from our viewers. So how about a quick synopsis as to what's inside a lithium iron phosphate 12-volt battery pack?
Okay, so the lithium iron phosphate batteries are comprised of cells within it. They can be of typically the most common cell size is what's known as a 26650 cell package, and they're arranged in series and in parallel. Each cell has an open circuit voltage of about 3.2 volts, and it's charged at 3.65 volts per cell. So when the pack is charged up, it's charged at 14.6, and then it has an open circuit, settles out to about 13.2 volts.
Wow. Well, that's great. And I see that these cells have been meticulously put together. Does each one get tested before the battery pack goes together?
Correct. Yeah, we do all the quality assurance testing before any of the battery packs do go out. So we have that all taken care of for the customer.
All right.
Base.
Now, this little board is inside each one of your batteries. What does this board do?
Okay, this is known as the protection circuit module. This is very important for balancing all the cells. It prevents overcurrent, over prevents against over discharge, over voltage, and all that protection is built into the board itself. So all the packs have protection boards that are in there that do all that functions.
Wow, isn't that something? So that board really is the key to make sure that we don't blow them up. Now, for those hams that have boats, what about us mariners? You got big batteries for this technology for boaters?
That's correct. So there's larger packs that would be used for marine applications. It scales up, so all of it has the boards built into it, and that allows for additional capacity that you would need for that application.
Wow, that's quite a. How many amp hours was that battery?
That one's a 12-volt, 200-amp-hour lithium iron phosphate battery. So,
okay, and yep. What goes in your wonderful setup here? Which battery?
So that's a 12-volt, 100-amp-hour lithium iron phosphate battery.
Wow, it looks like it's got Andersons. It's got the big Andersons, got a neat voltmeter, and what else?
It also has the inverter as well as USB outputs, all of that mentioned protection circuit function built into the unit itself. So it's pretty cool.
Wow, well, that's quite exciting technology. Now, this one we're holding here, is that going to run my 100-watt output ICOM transceiver that I got from DX Engineering?
That one can be used for QRO for high power application. Yes, that one, that's the 15 amp hour. We also have the larger ones as well. So we can scale up as needed based on the powers that you're pulling.
Wow. Now, how many amp hours is this guy I'm holding?
That one's a 12 volt, 15 amp hour.
15 amp hours. Wow, that's really exciting. And again, what am I looking at here now?
Okay, so this is one of our power pack units that have the built-in solar charge controller. They also have a built-in 12-volt, 10-amp-hour lithium iron phosphate battery and inverter on the back of the unit. It has DC outputs on the front. It has a USB on the front as well, all of it in one package. And it can be charged using AC as well as solar.
Wow. And speaking of solar, I know you've got solar panels. Anything new with solar panels these days?
So the solar panels are going foldable. So foldable, a lot of ham radio base wants to take stuff on the go. So the foldable panels are great. You can take that, plug that into the power pack along with the batteries, et cetera.
Wow, that is exciting technology. And here again, this will be our final shot. This is showing all of the different batteries and battery systems. And Brian, if you want to come back to us for a direct shot. Kevin, what do we got here? This is about how many amps to...
That's a 6-amp-hour lithium iron phosphate battery. That kind of shows you all of the production, how it comes out. So there's the cells that are attached in there as well as the protection circuit module on top.
Now this big guy, what's this one going to power?
That's a 15 amp hour that can be used for both QRP and QRO applications, like for example an Elecraft KX3 that you're taking on the go for various applications as well.
Wow, and how about this little smaller one?
That's for QRP. That's a 12 volt 6 amp hour battery. You're going to use that for low power applications. Again, a bunch of different radios as well.
Wow. And of course, protection. You got to have protection, huh?
Yeah, all of the boards have the built-in protection circuit module, as we mentioned before, that does all of that built-in function for over voltage, over current, over discharge, et cetera. So, and balancing as well.
Oh, that is great. Well, Kevin, what phone number can our Ham Nation viewers call if they have more information that they need about what is the right battery for their particular rig? I know you're a ham radio operator, so you've got all of the rigs probably memorized. what's the best number to call out here, California time, 924? Go ahead.
It's going to be 888-336-7864.
And one more time, because hams always have to hear it twice.
That's 888-336-7864, BioNO Power.
Wow. Well, thank you so much. And Ham Nation viewers and all of those of you listeners, we hope that you'll call in, because they've got the technical answers. This is not just a sales crew. This guy really knows his stuff when it comes to this new type of battery technology. So, Don, I'm going to turn it over to you. But before I do, Kevin, thank you.
Appreciate it, Gordon. Thank you very much.
And Kevin is going to be this Tuesday up at the Mountaintop Amateur Radio Association up in Big Bear area. And we hope that you have a great time up there at Lake Arrowhead Group. Over.
Yeah, appreciate that. Sounds good.
Okay, so if you're looking for more battery information, get a hold of Kevin. He's got the scoop. So Don, Gordo, and Kevin, over to you to hear more about DX Engineering. Go ahead, Don.
Yeah, before we get into DX Engineering, just a lot of questions in the chat room, and I want to get one before Amanda comes in here and has more questions for Kevin. Bioeno Power, will Bioeno Power be at Dayton this year?
Go ahead. Yeah. So one of our dealers, HamSource, will be out there with our products. So yes, we'll be out there through HamSource.
We'll be there.
Yep.
Good. Awesome. Looks like good products. Can't wait to find out more about it. And I'll bet you.
All right, well, thanks, John. And Bioeno is also going to be with us out at Las Vegas the end of April at the Las Vegas Nevada Convention. So if you're out there in Las Vegas, come on over and say hi. Back to you, Don. Thanks, Kevin.
Thank you.
Awesome. Thanks, Kevin. Well, you know, of course, field days right around the corner, and batteries, I mean, you know, you're going to have batteries and generators and all kinds of stuff for field day. And a great place to get all your stuff for field day is right here at DX Engineering. From radios and antennas to portable power, outdoor gear, DX Engineering has just about everything you're going to need to make sure your field day is a huge success. Just a sampling of the vital stuff you're going to need to enjoy portable and mobile operation. If you're going to be running multiple portable HF stations this year, low band systems, filters, and multiplexers can simplify your setup and also make it a lot less expensive. They allow you to feed a single multiband HF antenna with several different radios operating on different bands simultaneously. That's a cool concept. That means you'll only have to put up one antenna and make one run of coax, and there's hardly any insertion loss either, typically less than 0.2 dB. And low-band systems multiplexers require the appropriate filter, and DX Engineering, of course, carries those as well. They're high-quality multi-stage units. They limit the RF to a single band, effectively eliminating the RF interference issues that multi-radio ops experience when using dedicated mono-band stations. And, of course, field day, you know, crowded band conditions and close proximity, this will help you out considerably. And there's a lot more to field day than just radios and antennas, of course, and DX Engineering has some of the things that you might not think about, like folding chairs, canopies, and umbrellas. They'll keep you comfortable all day. And, of course, those DX Engineering shirts, especially the performance knit ones. Oh, man. Of course, they have T-shirts, too. But those really nice racing team-style shirts are really, really comfortable, especially if you're going to be down here in the South the end of May for field day. You're going to love that. You can also get the official ARRL Field Day accessories and apparel at dxengineering.com. You can get Guyline, DC power accessories, weather stations, generators, and more, everything you're going to need for field day. And if you're doing national parks on the air, the NPOTA Go Kit combos will give you a great starting point towards building a comprehensive portable station. Be a good start for field day, too. The Wanda Nova FT4JAD expedition is coming up soon. That team is heading to a small island in the Indian Ocean. They're going to activate the number 6 most wanted DXCC entity. And if you'd like to build an effective HF receive setup that won't harm the island's fragile ecosystem, DX Engineering supplied the team with the KD9SV reversible beverage antenna system. And, of course, since the DX guys are going to have powerful transmit stations nearby their receive-only antennas, they'll also install DX Engineering's receiver guards as a cost-effective solution. You want to find out more stuff that the team's going to be using? See the entire FT4JAD Expedition combo, and you can find that at DX Engineering. DX Engineering, of course, ships faster than anybody else in the industry. If you get your ground shipping order in by 10 p.m. Eastern, Monday through Friday, and if it's in stock, it'll be on a truck headed your way that day, literally within minutes. Somebody emailed me once and said, you know what, I made an order for DX Engineering, and I called them back like 5 or 6 minutes later to ask them a question and maybe change something. They said, hey, we've already got that on the truck. And I'm like, wow, okay, well, send it on. I mean, that's how fast that shipping is, fastest in the industry. And with proven products and expert advice, DX Engineering will help you shrink the globe. Request this very catalog right here that I have in my grimy little hands. This catalog, it's the latest one. It's got the Go Kit right there on the front of it. Build your own Go Kit. DXEngineering.com. Request your catalog, shop online 24/7. DXEngineering.com/hamnation. Thank you so much, DX Engineering, for your support of Ham Nation. We do appreciate it. We love the fact that you're part of our family and that we're all part of yours. No better place to go for good stuff and expert advice, too, from the best DXers on the planet, Tim Duffy and the guys. All right, let's get into the news of the week, shall we, with Amateur Radio Newsline. From Amateur Radio Newsline Report, number 2004, these are the Ham Nation headlines for Wednesday, March 30th, 2016. A national group of Native Americans who are also licensed amateurs is harnessing amateur radio's power to help those living on America's tribal lands.
A plan to increase amateur radio's presence in tribal lands is the mission of the National Tribal Amateur Radio Association. Their president is Nathan Nixon, N7NAN.
Having been a licensed amateur for 22 years now and working in Indian country for the last 6 years, I can tell you that going into Indian country, there's not a lot of amateur radio operators that I've met.
Nixon says amateur radio can be a valuable resource to interconnect smaller villages. The association has three main goals.
To further amateur radio into Indian country by assisting with licensing classes, testing, but also if those tribal nations reach out and say, hey, we want equipment here in our emergency operations center, that's our second goal, is to assist with that. But the third goal, and I think the biggest one, is to bring the science, technology, engineering, and mathematics of amateur radio into those Indian country schools, and to show that by becoming a licensed amateur, you can do great things within the STEM fields. The example I use all the time when I'm talking to people from these different tribal schools is, look at our astronauts. Most all of them are licensed amateur radio operators. These kids from your schools could do that, and amateur radio could pave the way for that.
And the group hopes to expand.
I would like to see Antara have a footprint in all 567 tribal nations in the next 5 years.
For Amateur Radio Newsline, I'm Kent Peterson, KC0DGY.
The annual Hamvention Award honorees have been announced.
Amateur of the Year winner is Joe Taylor, K1JT. Joe was first licensed in 1954. He was awarded the Nobel Prize in Physics in 1993 for the discovery of the first orbiting pulsar, leading to observations that established the existence of gravitational waves. After retirement, he has been busy developing and enhancing digital protocols for weak signal communication by amateur radio, including JT65 and WSPR, otherwise known as Whisper. Technical achievement goes to John S. Burningham, W2XAB. First licensed in 1970, John has been involved with amateur repeaters for over 40 years. John is currently active in the DMR community, having published a beginner's guide and a DMR article in QST and a contributing author in the ARRL 2016 handbook. Special Achievement Award goes to Stan Horzepa, WA1LOU. Stan is recognized for being an advocate of cutting-edge technologies that are now commonly used in amateur radio. Stan has also authored 5 books and wrote over 1,200 pieces for the ARRL and TAPR while evangelizing the use of home computers, packet radio, APRS, digital signal processing, and software-defined radio. Club of the Year winner goes to Rocky Mountain Ham Radio, N0SZ. Rocky Mountain Ham Radio is not your typical amateur radio club. The organization is based in Denver, Colorado, and offers its services to other ham radio clubs as well as Aries groups to help them be successful. Technical assistance, classroom training on a myriad of subjects, mentoring, equipment, system design, and public services are among the services provided. Being a proud member of RMHAM myself, I'd like to give the club a huge congratulations. For Amateur Radio Newsline, I'm Amanda Alden Carrier, K1DDN.
Congratulations all around. And speaking of awards, a reminder that the nominating period for the Bill Pasternak Young Ham of the Year Award is now open. We confer this annual honor on the best of the best, a young licensed radio amateur who's used ham radio for public service, benefiting his or her community, or who has impacted technological development affecting communications in some way. For details on nomination requirements and to download an application form, visit our website, www.arnewsline.org, and click on the tab for YHOTY. Completed forms and supporting documentation should be sent to the Young Ham of the Year Award in care of Amateur Radio Newsline, Inc., Editorial Office, Post Office Box 451, Huntington Station, New York, 11746. And that's all from the Amateur Radio Newsline, your independent source for amateur radio news for over 37 years and counting, at www.arnewsline.org. With Kent Peterson, KC0DGY, Amanda Alden Carrier, K1DDN, Karen Eve Murray, KD2GUT at the news desk in New York, and our news team worldwide, I'm Don Wilbanks, AE5DW. 73, we'll see you next time here on Ham Nation. All right, and now we have a special guest on the show tonight. We have John Porchin, W6 NBC. How are you, John? I'm interested to learn more about that antenna you have over your shoulder.
Yes, indeed. It's an unusual one, as you shall see. Let me get into it here. Tonight here, I'm going to bring to you something rather special. This is, as it says here on the screen, a recent breakthrough in antenna design. But even though sometimes these breakthroughs are pretty high tech, this is one you can actually build. As you see that one right there, I actually built that. We need a little history first, though, to understand how it works. Here's August Ferdinand Möbius. Never can learn to pronounce those German umlauts, who in 1858 rather astounded the mathematics community in Germany by showing a little curiosity, an anomaly, which today even still bears his name. Most many of you probably heard of it, the Möbius strip or band. You can make one real easily by taking a piece of paper, as you can see here, thin strip, twisting one end and connecting the ends, and you have a Möbius strip. But as this little illustration clearly shows you, it's a most unusual surface, and it's fascinating to mathematicians. They call it a non-orientable cubic surface. As you can see, it has only one side because that little ball there is rolling around, but it's never crossing over to the other side, but doesn't have to because there is only one side to a Möbius strip. It's an unusual phenomenon. But in over 50 years, there haven't been much, 150 years, I mean, there haven't been much practical applications for a Möbius strip until fairly recently. Here's one that's been used to take some resistive material, put it between two Möbius strips of conductor, hook some wire to it, and you've got a resistor that has absolutely no self-resonance. Also, it has no residual inductance. And that's difficult to do for a resistor, particularly if you're working high, up high in frequency. Some years ago, B.F. Goodrich made the belt on the right. As you can see, it's twisted by half a turn, making it into a Möbius belt. The reason they did it is because since it only has one side, it lasted twice as long. But now, due to some very recent research, actually, so I'm going to show you, you can build a 2-meter Möbius antenna. In fact, you can build one for any band. I'm thinking about a 20-meter one here pretty soon after what's happened with the one in the background that you saw earlier, because it has some extraordinary benefits. Here's the one I built, the one that was in the background early when I came on, up against some clouds in my sky. It's made out of just common quarter-inch aluminum tubing bent at the corners, and into an unusual shape. It's two helices or helixes, the bigger one to the right, which is a right-handed half-turn helix, and the one to the left is a left-handed half-turn helix. And like a Möbius strip, they're connected end-to-end. What you get here is because of this, you're actually encompassing a Möbius surface, as you see there on the right. The idea of using Möbius technology for RF was developed first mentioned 2005 by Hiram Percy Tauschung at Hillel Reiser University in Israel. He calculated that if you could manipulate two laser beams, but it could be radio waves too, but two laser beams at a critical angle of 26 degrees, that the combined wavefronts would trace out a Möbius surface. But until just this year, nobody made use of the theory. But here at the Max Planck Institute of Electromagnetic Sciences in Misthaven, Germany, this year they did actually create what we call an M-quad. And the antenna you saw, that's what it is, a Möbius quad. They reconfigured a cubical quad antenna into the form. So you say, well, what are the benefits of an M-quad? Well, here's an easy neck plot I did on my very antenna. And you can see this little tiny antenna right behind me has 19 dBi gain in the forward direction. If you put that in terms of a normal Yagi, that's That's 25 elements on a 19-foot boom, and that's only in an antenna that's barely 2 feet across. Better than that, if you look at it from the azimuth dimension, it has gain in all directions. But here's the kicker in this. If you want to make this antenna work, you've got to do something kind of unusual. You've got to feed it at 2 points. And you can see the 2 feed points here. They have to be 26 electrical degrees or a 26-degree phase shift from each other. That's that critical angle that that Taoshung discovered. But you also have to feed it with some special coax. That is not ordinary coax you're looking at it. That is what's called monodirectional coax. Now, I know a lot of people have never heard of it or don't know of it. Well, it was announced in April 2014 QST under the new products in QST. And it has some very unusual properties if you want to read the article, which I'll show you where you can later. I can't really show you how to build one of these here on the show tonight, but I can tell you where to order the monodirectional coax or where to find out ordering information and give you an article that really does tell you how to build this very antenna. It's on my website, W6NBC.com. Just go there and you'll find out what you need to get the coax and to build one. Here's the physical layout of the antenna. You can see it's fairly small. The long sides are only 16 inches. The right-handed blue helix quarter-inch aluminum tubing and the left-handed red helix quarter-inch aluminum tubing. Again, you can use copper if you like. Aluminum is just lighter. And it's hooked end-to-end, as I say, like a Mobius strip. It's supported with some ordinary half-inch PVC and some couplings. But there's some bends in the tubing that are the PVC have to make. Here's a better picture of it so you can really see it, the whole antenna. It's a little tricky to build because of those strange bends to get it around that Mobius surface. But I just squashed the thing at the right dimensions with vice grips, and the thing bends easily. And the PVC structure has to be bent, but I did that with a heat gun. It's easy enough to do. You also have to cut a slot in the end of each of the arms at a 12-degree angle to horizontal and then hold it all together with some glue and pipe caps. Well, it really is a new adventure in ham radio. I've been just astounded by it. And you can build one of them too. So there it is. And here you can see it in the background. I'll just turn it around here for you. It's hard against this background of all my railroad memorabilia. I'm a big railroad buff. But it's a real antenna, and you can really build it, and it's remarkable. So back over to you, George.
Oh, John, I'm kind of intrigued myself there. I do have a question about it. Can you feed it with ladder line? I know there's some people going to want to know the answer to that.
Oh, of course you can. But not for the last two pieces, the half-wave stubs of monodirectional coax, they do have to be coax. So you could fit it with ladder line and put a ballon right where those two stubs begin.
Okay. Well, that clears it up greatly there. Well, I appreciate it, John. We look forward to you being back with us in the future here. Anything else you can tell us about it before you go?
No, it's just that it's been an adventure for me, and it will be for anybody who tries it.
I think you're right. We'll have to go look that up. It's at W6NBC.com. Well, thanks, John. We'll see you back here soon. Well, you know, last week I asked a question. Which of the following describes combining speech with an RF carrier signal? And your choices were A, impedance matching, B, oscillation, C, modulation, or D, low-pass filtering. Well, we had a winner, and that's Ted, AD0GI. And Ted said the answer is C, modulation. So congratulations, Ted. We've got some prizes for you here. First thing from DX Engineering, we've got 50 feet of 400 max coax here with the connectors already installed. Good coax. You're going to like that. And we're also going to send you an MFJ2703N three-way wideband antenna switch. This one has end connectors on it. They also make one that has regular SO239s to fit your PL259s, a heavy switch. I think I weighed this thing, and it's like a pound and a half, so a very nice switch there. So congratulations, Ted. We'll be sending those out for you. And I've got one more 50-foot bundle of the DX Engineering 400 Max Coax to give away here. And if you think you need this for your shack, well, here's the question I've got for you. It comes from the Amateur Radio Technician Exam. What would cause a broadcast AM or FM radio to receive an amateur radio transmission unintentionally? A, the receiver is unable to reject strong signals outside the AM or FM band. B, the microphone gain of the transmitter is turned up too high. C, the audio amplifier of the transmitter is overloaded. Or D, the deviation of an FM transmitter is set too low. If you think you know the answer to that, send it to me, hamnationcontest@gmail.com, and you might win my final roll of 400 Max coax from DX Engineering. And now let's, I think, Don, you've got another message for us, don't you?
I do, and all that talk about Mobius antennas made my hair hurt, quite frankly. That's way above my pay grade, so it's a good thing I've got my pill pack here. You know, I talked about this last time, and I want to show these pictures again. Brian, if you have them. Recently went to Cincinnati where my brother-in-law's been in the hospital. That's my mother-in-law. She left really, really quickly to go up there to see him, and she didn't have her meds. They figured they were just going to be gone a few days, so she had to have her meds FedExed to her. So here she is sitting at the table, at the kitchen table, putting her meds in the little weekly, there it is, you can see it, in the little dispenser. She's fooling with that when she could be visiting her son in the hospital. But no, she's got to spend 40 minutes fooling with that. And then, of course, once she gets done with hers, she's got my father-in-law's to do. And, you know, it just, yeah, she looks happy about that, doesn't she? Yeah, she's thrilled, let me tell you. Anyway, I pulled up on my MacBook and I showed her pillpack.com, and she's like, man, I need that. So, and you need it too. PillPack is a wonderful thing. PillPack will deliver, it's a full-service pharmacy, but it's not a traditional pharmacy. PillPack delivers your medications and vitamins pre-sorted in easy-to-tear packets with labels containing the date and time for each dose, which I'm going to show you here in a few minutes, so you can get rid of that antiquated Monday through Sunday pill box. That's the worst. Look, here are the packs right here. These are the strips that come in the box right here. It has the name of it on there, and it's see-through, so you can see exactly what you're taking. And on the back, it has a list of everything with pictures, so you can match it up. And it's probably a little hard to show you in the camera, but here's a PM and an AM and a midday, and it's all lined up for you right here, convenient. And it comes to you in this box. That's a whole lot better than having a bag full of stuff FedEx to you up in Cincinnati. I'll tell you that right now. They use advanced technology to create these personalized packets for each customer. And they're always checked by a real live, living, breathing pharmacist prior to being shipped. They go through an image recognition system. They're built to ensure the right pill is in the right pack. System can detect dispensing accuracy by size, shape, color, density of each pill. Catalogs an image of every single pack to be dispensed, so they make sure that everything is done right. You can even order inhalers, creams, and diabetic supplies, and they come in refrigerated, easy-to-open packages. Switching is super simple. They have a secure website you sign up on. They take care of everything for you, and the pharmacists are available 24/7. You can speak with them from the privacy of your own home or even if you're on the go, like my in-laws. And it's been 6 weeks, and they're still up there. They proactively contact your doctor to manage your refill so you never run out. Compatible with most insurance plans, including most forms of Medicare Part D. No extra cost beyond your standard copays, and shipping is always free. And if you refer someone to PillPack and they sign up, PillPack will donate $100 to RX Art, which is a nonprofit organization whose mission is helping children heal through the extraordinary power of visual art. So it's a cool company. They have a medication reminder app for your iPhone and your Apple Watch, too. So why continue to endure, and that's what it is, enduring your existing pharmacy, standing in line and wondering if the goofball behind you is listening to all your personal information that you're telling the pharmacist. PillPack will not only bring you your pharmacy into the digital age, they will also make your life so much easier. I want you to visit PillPack.com/twit. PillPack.com/twit. Sign up now. The site is gorgeous. Only takes about 5 minutes to sign up. And if you use the link and transfer your prescriptions to PillPack, you'll get a credit for $20 worth of vitamins and over-the-counter stuff. That's PillPack.com/twit. You will be glad you checked this company out, and you're going to love it almost as much as we love Val. Val, we love you so much.
Oh, thank you, Don. Well, I love you guys, too. I don't know what I'd do without my Ham Nation. I just love being on this show. Valerie NV9L, well, I know it's already March, and contesting season's starting to wind down, but there's still some good contests left. WPXCW's coming up, IARU, we have Field Day, June VHF. So I thought I'd give you a couple tips to take your contesting to the next level. So if you want to go ahead and roll that, Brian. So if you want to take your contesting to the next level, you might want to consider logging into the live contest server. And that's cqcontest.net. Now, when you go in there, it's going to show all your scores, and it's going to update automatically at whatever you set that for. And it's going to see you compared to others in your category. So you really have a true horse race live while your contest is going on. And it gives you a lot of great statistics. You can see, obviously, where you are point-wise, QSO-wise, compared to everybody else in your category. It really helps motivate you to work on more cues. You can drill it down even more and get see how many contacts everybody's made on what band and how many malts they have on those bands. You can see, hey, they're really creaming me on 40 meters. I need to get back on 40 meters and work that band hard, or harder, I should say. So, really cool thing. It really adds the element of competition, because a lot of times when you contest, you don't know how well you're doing unless it's a serial number contest and you happen to work them and hear their serial numbers a few hundred higher than yours. So this is really a nice tool. Even if you don't log in, you can look and keep an eye on this to see how you're doing to the other guys. But I'm going to show you at the end how easy it is to log into this. And it really is a nice tool. It's got some great stats. Nothing worse than, you know, missing out the end of the contest by like 3 QSOs, things like that. I lost winning a USA contest by a half a QSO. So I'm never going to let that happen again. And you can compare you and one other call sign and see where you're weaker or stronger and things like that. So it really allows you to adjust during the contest instead of after the fact for the following year. So instead of just total QSOs and molts, you can drill down by band, and you can even pull up the rules if you need to on the fly in the contest. They're there. You can change your screen to certain views. This is the view I like to have right here. Everything's more condensed, better at a glance on my other screen while I'm contesting. You can see how you're doing in your category as well as other categories. So much information right there at your fingertips while during the contest or even after the contest. CQ Contest Server is free. You just need your call sign and a password. So let's go into N1MM. Now that you have your call sign and password, go into Configure Ports and Other, and then go over to the Score Reporting tab. As you can see, there's only one score reporting server right now, and that's CQ Contest. Put in your call sign and your password. And as you can see, I have mine set at 5 minutes. So every 5 minutes, I don't have to do a thing. It's automatically going to send my score. It knows my category and everything, and it's going to update that to the live contest server automatically. And that I'm going to ignore. I use Microham Keyer 2, and I found out the hard way that I'm going to disregard that message and leave it as is. And that's all. That's all you do, and you're hooked up, ready to go. Now, another thing I find very helpful when contesting and taking it to the next level is doing a call history log. What that is, it's going to look at last year's logs for a particular contest and pre-fill the data they used last year. So the first thing we want to do is go into Config and enable call history by just clicking there and a little check will go. Now we want to look at where, when we want to upload the call history file, where it's going to point to grab that file. So we just go to File, Import, Import Call History, and you're going to see it's looking at Documents and 1MM Logger Call History File. So now we know where we want to put that file once we upload it. So I like to go to the Arizona Outlaws website. Now, it's a great contest resource. And if you go to the Contest Resources tab, you're going to see at the bottom there that there's files you can upload. And in there is all the call history files for a bunch of contests that are used throughout the year. Now, these guys are really good about keeping this up to date. So let's grab NAQP, and we're going to download that file. You'll see it downloading there. Now, we want to save that as into my Documents N1MM Logger Call History File folder, because we know that's where it's going to import from. So go ahead and save it there. Now, we're going to ignore that. Now, when we go into N1MM Logger, File, Import, Call History File, and it's going to go there. We want to open it up to all file extensions because it was a CSV file. Click it and import it, and you're going to see 3,653 calls were updated. So it's going to show you what these people used last year for their exchange. Now, it's not necessarily what they're going to use this year, but it's a great start. So if you put in a call, hit the space bar, there it is. It automatically populates. So there's just a couple cool tools to get your contesting game to the next level. I don't know, I'm blurry all of a sudden, so I don't know if my internet's going bad. But also, I tried to find a universal call history log for field day, because it would be nice if it could populate that for you. Couldn't find one, but the next best thing you can do is if you used N1MM last year for field day, just bring that log back up on your N1MM. And once it's up, if you go to Tools and in the drop-down, there's going to be an option to clear call history. Click that, and then once that's done, just above clear call history is an option to update call history with current log. And so that is going to replace it with the last year's field day log. And then you just go into File, Export, Call History File. And now you have a call history file for last year's field day. So when you go to set up your logs in N1MM for field day, then you can import that call history file from last year's logs. So, I mean, you may have worked a call sign last year, and this year, last year he was a 2-alpha, and this year maybe he's only a 1-alpha, but most likely if he was Western PA last year, he's probably still going to be Western PA this year. So those pre-fills will help you out. Obviously, you're going to go with what they say, but sometimes, especially when you're on the lower bands and there's a lot of static crashes going on, it helps to have those pre-fills in there. So a lot of times if you kind of see what it was last year, it might sound a lot like what they're trying to say now. So a little tool to help improve your game, your contesting game. Now, as far as DXing goes, a lot of great DX going on right now. So let's have a look at this week's DX report. All right, welcome to this week's edition of the DX Files. What's going on? Kingman Reef KH5K has just been deleted by the ARRL Awards Committee as a DXCC entity. So those of you who are looking for them all, you only need 339 right now. VK0EK, Heard Island's up and rolling, and here's a shot of them in their operating tent. Remember those cool tents I showed you a couple weeks ago? And they have a really cool thing on their website. If you go to the DXA tab, and that's going to show you in real time what bands and modes the team is working on right now, so you know if it's real or if it's a pirate. It also shows in real time what bands and slots you have them on, and it shows all the call signs of the people they're just working now. And when you work them, a red pop-up box pops up and says, congratulations, you just worked VK0EK. And if you look on the right, it shows recent calls logged, and it's pretty cool. Now, there's the team for Wanda Nova, FT4JA, heading over to the island on their sailboat. And they are there on the island, and they just finished setting up antennas for look look for them to be on the air now, and they're going to be there until the 11th. Also going on right now is Togo, 5 Victor, 7 Delta. They're there now, and they're going to be there until the 12th. And that's in West Africa. And that's a semi-rare DX entity. And for you IOTA chasers, Delta Lima 7 UCX is heading to Marmara Island, and it'll be IOTA AS201. It's south of Istanbul. He'll be there April 1st through the 11th. And that's a look at this week's DX Files. So hopefully you guys are going to be able to work the VK0. I know a lot of people are struggling to hear them, so hopefully you'll be able to stick it out and get them for an all-time new one. Same thing with Wanda Nova. That's a very rare one. This past weekend, hopefully you guys got on the air and worked WPX sideband. That was a really big contest. It did happen to be on Easter weekend, but I was really amazed at how many stations were on for Easter weekend. And I don't know if you recall, last summer, Jerry and I put out an invitation for anybody who wanted to be mentored into contesting to send me an email, and I picked a winner, and that winner was Matt Walsh, AC9IG, and he came out and operated with us for NAQP last August. Well, we thought for WPX, you know, let's invite Matt back again, and this time we get to use high power, and we get to work the world. You get to work not only the states, but the rest of the world. So there was a lot more activity on the band. So here's a shot of all of us operating from this weekend for WPX sideband. And there's our stats. Matt on the left, AC9IG. And behind me is Gary, K9GS, a friend of mine from Wisconsin, the GMDXA in Wisconsin. And, of course, Jerry, WB9Z, myself, and Canine Dog in the shot. So we didn't quite make 10 million points, 9.8 million, but it was a blast. Everybody had fun. So anyway, hopefully we got to put a lot of you guys in the log this weekend. So it was really fun to work the U.S. as well as the world. So I'll see you guys in 2 weeks from Visalia, and I'm going to head it over to George.
Okay, Val, thanks for that report and some good tips for those there big into the contesting in DX world. We'll look forward to hearing from you in 2 weeks. I'm going to tell you how you might win a radio, but first let's get a message from the sponsor.
The wait is over. The IC7300 is here. ICOM's new innovative HF transceiver will far exceed your expectations for a radio considered entry level. The 7300's RF direct sampling system is an industry first. It departs from the conventional super heterodyne system. RF signals are directly converted to digital data. Digitizing the RF before various receiver stages reduces inherent noise generated from different IF stages. A large 4.3-inch color touchscreen promotes intuitive operation and functions like the waterfall, which displays high-level performance and resolution, sweep speed, and dynamic range. The audioscope function allows you to observe various audio frequency, transmit, and receive characteristics. And a high-resolution real-time spectrum scope includes a new magnify function. Other great IC7300 features include RMDR and superior phase noise characteristics, 15 discrete bandpass filters, and more. Visit icomamerica.com/amateur and learn more about the new ICOM IC7300.
And you can tune in and enter to win after each episode of Ham Nation. Go to icomamerica.com/hamnation and register to win for some great swag prizes like T-shirts and hats. And while you're there, learn how you could win a radio in the monthly grand prize drawing. For March, it's going to be the ICOM ID880H. VHF UHF digital transceiver with analog and D-Star, 50 watts on both VHF UHF, wideband receive, free CS80/880 cloning software, and a lot more. So go to icomamerica.com/hamnation after this and each episode and register to win. On that IC7300, a lot of you have been asking about when is the video going to be posted. You know, a couple of weeks ago, Ray came down and Tommy and I got together with him and we shot some detailed video on that radio. It's been submitted to ICOM now, and I believe they're in the process of posting it to their YouTube channel. So look for that in the next day or so. it should appear there, and it'll give you a lot of good information on that radio. So now let's bring in Amanda and see what's going on in the chat room tonight. I know you've got some questions lined up for Gordo, don't you?
Hey, I have some questions for Kevin and Gordo. Well, mostly for Kevin. Gordo, you'll just be there for props and looks. So Kevin, KD7YVV wants to know, do they do a 48-volt, 1,000-watt battery? That's his question A. So I'll let you go ahead and answer that first.
Not yet, says Kevin. I've got him remote control, but no 48-volt yet. But call him in the morning and tell him that's what you're looking for. He'll do a little inquiry to see how many they might make up. So call Kevin in the morning.
Okay, call Kevin in the morning. Next thing is, can any of them power an electric bike?
Yes. In fact, Kevin was telling me that that is one of the other big lines that they handle are electric bikes, electric leaf blowers, electric lawnmowers. They're all switching over to this new battery technology, Amanda.
Very good. His next question was, how much do they weigh? Now, we saw several different sizes, so just give us some rough ideas there.
A motorcycle battery weighs about 25 pounds. The equivalent of the Innova battery would be about 6 pounds. So just a quarter of the weight of a sealed lead acid battery.
Okay, that's good to know. And another question we have for Kevin is, do you have a website address, a link that people could go to look at these batteries as well?
We do. Look at bienopower.com. B as in boy, I-O-E-N-N-O, power.com. And that should lead you to a great website, or just Google Bienio Power.
Okay. And do they have prices on the website? Do they ship? And if you don't have any of those questions or answers on your website, can you give it to us tonight? Prices, shipping.
Yes, they. I believe they do have prices on the website, but I can tell you it's about $10 for each amp hour. So I'm looking for a 20 amp hour battery. It's probably going to be a couple hundred bucks. 10 amp hour for a QRP radio will be about $100. But be sure and mention Ham Nation because he's working up something special.
I'm going to order a new one. They're 30 bucks.
Okay. And thanks, Kevin, so much. And someone else had asked, was this a paid ad? I said, absolutely not. Gordo had mentioned these batteries before, and everybody's fallen in love with them since you talked about them in your last segment a couple weeks ago. So thank you so much for bringing that information in. And I think people are really excited about the fact that you guys are going to have a vendor in Dayton. So appreciate that. Let's see. Let's move on to George. No, actually, I want to go to Val first. This is funny. Val, you had mentioned how the contesting had showed when you said like a racehorse and showing everything, it showed a half a CUSO. We had some chatter in the chat room. How do you have a half a CUSO? How does that work?
Well, when you have multipliers, see, in the contest that I lost out by half a CUSO, each your multipliers, so count, so say you have 300 multipliers, just for curiosity. So when you make one contact that's worth 300 points, I lost out by 150 points. So for the USA. So it comes out to a half a CUSO, one more CUSO, and I would have won, you know. So it just kills you, you know. I think
I can't even imagine.
I wouldn't have, you know, gone and got that biscuit or, you know what I mean, and just stayed in the chair and worked one more guy, you know. So
Bentley wouldn't have had to go outside that one
That's
time.
Why I like the live contest server, because you're seeing it in real time. It's updating every couple of minutes. You know exactly how you rank to other people that are in that live server. So it really makes it more of a race horse race during the contest. So
absolutely. Well, and it keeps you really, really competitive. You're like,
and motivated.
I can do 4 hours of sleep. Yeah.
Okay, when you see you're down 200 CUSOs from the next guy in your category, it really motivates you.
That is really cool. I've definitely got to try that out. And thanks so much for telling
everyone
about it.
And even if you don't log into it, you can pull it up and look at your category and be stealth, you know, and see what everybody else is doing and how you compare. But I find it's cool to go on there because then you can compare you to the guy you're chasing, you know, so.
Yeah. Very good. And I didn't hear you at all this week. And I must say, I expected to hear you guys a lot. And I never heard your voice. I heard somebody else and it wasn't Jerry either. So good job, though. You guys always rock.
We gave Matt a lot of chair time. We give our visiting ops a lot of chair time. You know, we fill in the garbage slots.
There you go. Well, he did a great job. He was working it. So yeah. Very good. And a couple of announcements. And I have another question for George here. A couple announcements. Ed from New Mexico would like us to know that the New Mexico QSO party is coming up April 9th. And Mark from Michigan also wants us to know that the Michigan QSO party is coming up April 16th through the 17th. So you guys hear those Michigan and New Mexico stations on there, get out there, work them. Let's see. Something else, Val? Did I hear? No, I'm not hearing anything. Okay. George. ZL1KFM Kevin has a question about his hardline. He says he has a long length 30 meters of 7/8 hardline with in connectors on each end. I want to use this length for my HF antenna for up to 1.5 kilowatts. He knows it's overkill, but it's suitable for the purpose, right? He wants to just make sure that it's okay to use.
Yeah, it's overkill, but yeah, sure. If it's laying around, you're not doing anything else with it.
Okay. Otherwise, if you're not going to use it, sell it at a ham fest. I'm sure you'll get some good cash for it. You guys, that's all I have. And I didn't have any license upgrades this week. You guys, get out there and take your test upgrade for us. Other than that, that's all I got. Thanks so much.
All right. Thanks, Amanda. Good to have you with us this week, too. And thanks, everyone, for being here. Before we go, though, let's take one more round and see if anyone's got any parting words. Gordo? Anything final from Costa Mesa?
Well, I think hardline feeding a three-element beam, I'm for it for HF operation. But you'll probably need an adapter, though, to go from the in connector to the more common SO239 that the beam wants to see. But any way you go, weatherproof that connection, and yahoo, you'll have a great signal. Thanks for having me on board tonight, George.
Okay, thanks, Gordo. Yeah, a lot of good information on those new batteries there. Everyone's been wanting to know more about that technology. Val, any final words from you?
No, we're going to be in Visalia in 2 weeks, but 2 weeks from now we'll be live in the Petaluma studio, so I can't wait to go out there and meet everybody out there. But if you guys are thinking about going to that DX convention in Visalia 2 weeks from now, it's not too late to get registered, so get online and get registered. Amanda, you and Jeff are close enough to do a little road trip there. I know you guys always miss Dayton.
So I know. I wish we could. And my sister lives in Santa Barbara. I have so many people to visit in California. I really wish I could, but I can't.
All right. Well, hopefully I'll see a lot of you guys in Visalia. So see you in 2 weeks.
All right. Thanks, Val. Amanda, any final words from Colorado?
Final words, actually, this is for Gordo again. My final words, we are using our A4S. We know we have a problem in our trap. We're putting power on 20 meters, 15, does okay. Go to 40, SWR shoots out the roof. There was a questionable trap. We're working on it. Frustrating so far, though, I'll tell you that. And a lot of people have told us, just dump the antenna, don't use it, but I'm not ready to give up on it yet.
Good. Don't give up on it. And I'll tell you what, I'll send you an easy fix to a trap, because all it is a coil and the capacitor. And if it's loose like this, it's loosey-goosey, time to tighten it up with one screw. I'll give you details. Don't throw it out. See you on 7278.
Okay, 7278. Oh, and no 20-meter net tonight, you guys. Steve had to take the night off. And so no 20, everyone join us on 40. Other than that, the other nets, 14 Charlie for D-Star, do drop in for EchoLink. So, George, over to you.
Okay, thanks, Amanda, and thanks to Don and to John as well. And Bob Howell should be back with us next week, so we look forward to seeing you all then. 7-3.